How many are watching soccer? Soccer's in my house. Both floors. 3 generations watching soccer together.
You mean watching the game alone?
Praise the Lord. You can learn a lot from soccer about how to be the church. I'm actually going to kind of anchor my sermon in that truth. I've seen a lot of stuff in this, what's it called? Soccer tournament?
FIFA?
I'm not a soccer fan, by the way. I really enjoy watching it. My wife is a soccer fan, I found out. She used to play soccer, so she really gets into it. I have to sit 12 feet away from her, otherwise I'm going to get smacked. So. Seriously, I'm going to try to root this in soccer because I have learned so much about being one from watching this team, about expressing yourself as a team, possibly even loving each other. I've learned about faith. I mean, there's hardly a player that comes on or off the field without first acknowledging God or doing something to express their faith. So there's a lot going on. And I, you know, sometimes in sports, I know there's lots of people playing sports, no matter what your favorite sport is. There's a lot of Christians in sports, and there's a lot of God's moving everywhere. And if he calls you to play a sport or to do finances or work construction, he's calling you to live for him and be a testimony. And so I'm seeing lots of that, and I'm just watching and wishing, honestly, that as a church, we were more like them, believe it or not. Like more like a soccer team who's not afraid to show emotion and express emotion towards each other and affection and hug each other and give each other high fives when we do something right. Yeah. Like I just watching and say, oh God, what if the church was really like passionate about what they're doing and all focused on one thing and really encouraging and cheering each other on. I'm just going to share my heart today. I'm just going to speak from the scriptures. I think I put a PowerPoint, like a thank you. So I'm going to read Romans 12, 1-5 first. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm reading from the New Living, although I'll probably reference New King James as well. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with the Christ body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. And so I want to focus for the first point on this very truth about being humble, acknowledging that God has saved us and has put in us on a team and has put us in a specific team for such a time as this. And that it says literally that he chooses, according to 1 Corinthians 12, that he chooses each member and puts them in the body according to his choice. And so I'm just going to speak my heart today because there's nothing really else I can do. Otherwise, I might as well just sit down and you want me to regurgitate some other sermon. I can't do that. I look at church broadly and think it is so wrong to bounce from church to church. It's so wrong to just try to find a church that suits your needs because that's selfishness. Okay? You really have to be led of the Lord saying, God, where do you want me to fit and serve and be part of a body? Okay? That's how I grow. That's how I submit. That's how I learn. That's how I serve. That's how I really grow in Christ, is to find a body. And it's really hard to watch people just pop in and pop out because it's all about commitment and surrender. And so verse 1 and 2 says, surrender, give your body up to God. So first we need to humble ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 5, I think it's verse 5 and 6 says, if we humble ourselves, we receive grace. If we don't humble ourselves, we don't. Okay? So there's no power in a Christian life when you're not surrendering to God and humbling yourself before God and other people. Okay? And so God says, give your body to me because of all I've done for you. I bought you. I paid for you. You're mine. Now I want you to be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind that I find acceptable. This is how we worship God. Okay, point number one, we need to submit and humble ourselves before God, because if we don't receive grace to live the Christian life. Okay, that's, you know what, let me just read it, because I don't want you to just think, well, he's paraphrasing, that's not what it really says. Yeah, that's what it really says. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. I could read the whole thing, but it says, verse 5, likewise, you younger people, especially you younger people. You know why younger people? Because you're prone to do your own thing. You think now you're a teenager and you're an adult and you can control your own world. That's the furthest thing from the truth the enemy lies about. You know what? Honestly, parents, if you're still raising kids or grandkids, teach them to submit to authorities and to elders. Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. Wow. Actually, you're in opposition. There's a roadblock. You can't even have a relationship with God. You can't hear what he's saying because there's pride. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Okay? It's so clear. Okay? The Christian life is about humility. It's about surrendering and saying, I did not save myself. I had really nothing to do with it. He opened my heart. He saved me in my wretchedness, just as we heard, in my pit, when I'm out there using drugs and an alcoholic and a drug addict and living like hell, God steps into my world and just saves me. And I, like, now I'm broken and surrendered, because if he stepped into my world and takes me into his world, right, Colossians 1:13, transformation from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, how much should I just surrender and say, God, I'm yours. Take me. And what's my response once I say, okay, I'm leaving this kingdom of darkness. I'm stepping into the kingdom of God. Don't copy the behaviors and custom of the world. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. Let God transform me into a new person. I'm surrendering to the Holy Spirit working in my life. I'm humbling myself and saying, now that he's got me, I need to be transformed into the image of Christ so that he can change me. Then, when I have the mind of Christ and I start to think like he does, I will know God's will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And that's the goal, right? To live for him as a Christian. That's the first part of being humble towards God. I humble myself towards God. And then, as he places me in a family, he places a solitary family, okay, he brings me to a body of Christ and makes me part of that body, and I really believe, I said this before, that if God leads you to a body, okay, where you come into the church, this local church, and you say, I feel at home here. This is where I belong. Immediately, you recognize why you're here. The gifts that are lacking in that body, I've now been brought here because you've been brought here. Okay? And so your role is to serve in that body. And what do? You submit, you humble yourself to the body. Okay? And you say, how can I serve? What can I offer to you so that the body functions the way it's supposed to function? Okay? Here's one of the things we need to surrender. Don't think you're better than you really are. Okay? Yep. That's verse 3. Yep. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Okay? There should be nobody in here who thinks they're better than anybody else. The body is interdependent, okay? So you want to talk soccer? Soccer, for me, sometimes it's hard to watch. But when you see a guy get kicked in the leg, the whole body responds. It's this theatrical drop down, roll on the ground, the grimace, all the facial muscles, all the muscles are moving for that body. They're all working together to demonstrate that body's not doing well.
Oh, how bad.
Right? And then when they don't get the penalty, or they don't get the penalty they're looking for, and the team has gone that way, and they're still laying over there, he says, oh, I better get up because I'm not going to get what I want. So the thing is, we have no control over it. The body responds automatically. Okay? When one is sick, we're all sick. That's what it says. When one mourns, we all weep. When one is rejoicing, we all rejoice. Okay? Because we're all connected. And this is what I see when I watch soccer. It's incredible. Like, I'm thinking, guys, come on, get on with it. But somebody scores a goal, and the whole team gets off the bench. The coaches, everybody comes over, and they just hug. And they're kissing and hugging and cheering each other on. Think, you know, when somebody shares a testimony on Sunday morning, we should all get up and get, cheer them on. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so encouraged. Because that's our job, is to encourage one another, right? I think, why can't we express ourselves? Why can't we do the holy kiss like we're commanded to do? Like, they kiss each other. Yesterday, after the game, when I watched, even though they lost, okay, my team, France, because I'm French, they still went over and they were hugging and kissing all the other players on the other team. It's phenomenal. And they're hugging and kissing and encouraging each other. Some guys are crying, oh no, I missed the World Cup. It's fine, get up. Like, we're here, we're together. And there's just so much unity. And you think, man, this is a picture of the way the church should be. Okay? Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Notice that. It's God-given faith. It's God-empowered. It's His grace, not mine, ability. It's His grace. Okay? Just as our body is of many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Now, just cut off your baby finger and see how much fun life is without a baby finger. It ain't fun. You can't pick your teeth. You actually have to get a toothpick. Like, just think about, like, imagine if you don't have a foot. And, you know, I think if one of us is not functioning properly, we can barely walk. Like, we should stop. When someone needs something or help or whatever it is, we should stop and help out. And I know this body's done really well and is doing really well in that department to help each other out. I just want to encourage you to keep doing that. Because when we're really connected, it's really tough. You know, I don't want to preach too long, but if someone just pops in and out, you hardly ever see them, it's really hard to minister to them. Something in you doesn't even want to minister to them because you don't even think, well, they're just going to take off anyway. Yeah, you don't know their needs. You don't. There's not a heart relationship. So when you're joined together by Christ, you're in Christ together, and you're one body, we carry each other's burdens, Galatians 6, right? We just feel, we rejoice with you when you rejoice. We weep with you when you weep. And we want to help you when you need help. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts, one body. We all belong to each other. You know, we belong to each other. Why? Because we belong to Christ. And friends, this is the biggest humbling, because we are very independent. I don't know about you, but I always think I'm right. And so do you. Right? We always think we're right. When we're having a conversation, we think we're better than someone else. We think, well, you know, and we need to realize, well, I'm only this way because God. Yeah. God gave me the gift. I didn't ask to be a Bible teacher or read the Word or anything. I wouldn't even be reading the Word if I wasn't a Christian. Like, it's all God. And so now that I'm a surrendered to God, I'd humble myself before God and say, God, I'm yours. My body's yours. You put me in a body, and I'm here to serve the body you put me in. It's just serve God by serving the body. Even Jesus modeled this, right? To his disciples. I mean, literally, he puts on a slave's apron and goes and washes their feet. I mean, that's our Savior. He modeled it for us. Okay, so what does love look like? We humble ourselves before God, and we humble ourselves before each other, and we serve each other in love. Okay? We serve each other in love. And by the way, in Romans, that's the exact way we're supposed to express the love of God, which has been poured into our hearts, right? We love because He first loved us. He's poured His love into our hearts. Now that love flows through us, and it expresses itself in how we serve one another in love. Okay? And if you want to get there, we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves and do what God says. So we hear His voice. Mike, I want you to go and I want you to minister to that person. I want you to pray for that person. I want you to give $100 to that person, whatever it is. Okay? I'm just available for God. Number two, I'm going to jump to verse 9. I'm going to read verse 9, New Living Translation, to 13. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Don't pretend to love others. The literal Greek word there is hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying when God's people are in need. Be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. It's amazing truth. So I wrote, be real. Don't be a phony. You got to ask God for love. You got to choose to love people no matter where they're at. Okay? It's not easy because you know what happens when we start really getting close to someone? We start looking at their faults. And we start looking at our bonuses. Like, I'm glad I don't do that. And then that fault we think is in that person is always before us. And every time we see them, we judge them by that. Lord, have mercy on us. Okay? That's not humility. We need to, real love doesn't look at other people's faults. Always forgives. Always encourages, right? It's funny. When Paul is writing 1 Corinthians, he's teaching chapter 12 on the gifts. Then he's teaching chapter 14 on prophecy and tongues. But in the middle of those, he puts his chapter on love. Right? You have all these gifts and you're just a, and don't have love, you're a clanging gong, a cymbal, just noise. Okay? So we need to choose to be love, and we need to choose to reflect the love of God to others.
Can I just say something? Wendy and I got to go away for a couple days this week, and so we were talking about that, actually, about how we love people and how some people are easy to love and some people are not easy to love. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And for each one of us, it's different people. And so as we talked about that, we shared how important it is to have those people that are hard to love in our lives. Because then we get to practice the love, right? Because it's easy for me to love my husband when he's kind to me and when he's good to me and when he serves me. That's easy. But those people that are harder to love, we have to choose it. And that's when we get to walk in the gift of love and ask the Holy Spirit to say, give me love so that I can give it to other people. Because otherwise, we'll just be all about, oh, well, this is good and this is easy. No, it actually is good that it's hard because iron sharpens iron. And those people that are not like us change us to be more into the likeness of God.
Amen. Remember this truth. God has poured past tense his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, right? God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we were sinners, deserving hell. God steps in, and that's Romans 5:8, and says, I'm going to choose you and save you. I'm going to die for you. Romans 5:5, just before that, he says, he pours his love into our hearts. His love, the same love that prompted Jesus to come and die for us is in us, right? So we're talking about self-sacrifice, not self-interest, okay? It's huge, huge shift. Just like we sung, it's not about me. It's about him and me reflecting him to those he's put in my life, okay? And I can only do that with God's love. The love of God has been poured into my heart. And the reason I love anybody is because he loved me first. He demonstrated that love, right? The verse 10, I should probably say, real love hates evil, okay? You can't love the world, because if you do, it's full of evil, you're going to love evil, okay? You have to hate what God hates, and you have to love what God loves, and cling to what is good. Choose good. Choose to focus on the good. That's what I'm going after. I'm going to do good. I'm going to be good. I'm going to, you know, this is not about works. It's about reflecting who you are in Christ, okay? Live out, allow Christ to live through you, and you'll fulfill this. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Amazing, amazing words here. If you could read the Greek, it says, the kindly affections Philadelphia. Okay, it's Philadelphia to one another, brotherly love. Oh, sorry. Brotherly love is Philadelphia. Kindly affectionate is Philostorgos, which literally means like you would treat a family member. The love you have for a family member or another person on your team is the way you express brotherly love. Brotherly love and realizing that we are part of the same family. Okay? That's exactly what it says. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Not about me. My job is to exalt you, to lift you up, okay? To make sure that you achieve all that God has for you, okay? Give preference to you. Less of me, more of Jesus. That's what John the Baptist said. It's, I step out of the way so that he can shine. Where does he shine? He shines through you, okay? Just imagine if we had that, really had that attitude. I want to live so that other people feel important to God, or that God is really living through them. I want them to get, not the glory, but I want people to see their gift in them. I want people to recognize that it's not about me, that we're just training up the next generation, or I want, you know, the next person who's, when I drop dead, to take over. And I want to make sure I sow into that person and raise them up to be all that God wants them to be. That's what family does.
We can do that when we're jealous for one another, zealous for one another, like so zealous for one another. We're going to do whatever it takes to raise that person up and bring them to the Lord and equip them and do whatever, even though it costs us.
Amen. Glad you said that, Wendy, because that is the next word. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. The word there, zealous, like just zealous for good deeds. Here's the New Living. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. With zeal, with genuine affection, with just a passion for God to get the glory and for others to be lifted up. Okay? Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. There's a drive. There's a passion in you that just wants to do the work of the Lord and wants to be part of something bigger than yourself. Friends, probably the worst thing about Christianity in North America is all the superstars and celebrities that we love to live up and we love to go receive prayer from and we love to go and, you know, listen to their music and everything. We have a celebrity culture in Christianity. I don't know about you. When I read my Bible, he's supposed to get the glory, right? I don't care. Like, the thing is, we're guilty for creating that because we go and we lift them up and we cheer them on and we buy their records and Steve or Keith Green is still my favorite. I don't know if you know Keith Green, but it's like, I'm not doing this for money. I'm giving my albums away. You know, it's not about me. Let's just worship God. I'm not doing music so I can sell music. I'm worshiping God, and you come in and join me worshiping God. Okay?
Can I just say Kim Walker is doing that now too?
She's doing that now too?
Yes, she's following that same concept.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are getting that revelation. Praise the Lord. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Notice that, okay? Serving the Lord. You live for Jesus now. You don't live for yourself. So the passion you have should be, God, I want to do your will, which is verse 2. I want you to lead me into your perfect will so that I accomplish what you have saved me to do, so that people will know that I belong to you. The passion is to reflect you to the world, to demonstrate the love of God through my service to others. Okay? It's a passion for Jesus. It's a passion to make him known in the body that he's called me to serve in and the world he's called me to live in. Be patient. I think I wrote like passion, patience. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation. rejoice in hope. How much rejoicing do we do? How much complaining do we do? Do you know, there should be a balance, like way over on the hope side, on the rejoicing side. Because no matter what's happening in the world, we know we're leaving the world. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the hope is, any day now, he could get me off planet Earth and it's done and over with. So I'm not going to focus too much on what's happening here. But you you think about this soccer team, and they're just like passionate people when they're playing the sport, right? They're just, I've never seen a sport where there's just so much, everybody's involved, right? Like, you're just passing, bang, bang, bang. Everybody's in their position and they're passing the ball, waiting for that perfect opportunity to score. They're all working together and they're excited and they're passionate. Soccer's not like, you know, another sport where you just kind of sit there and wait for the ball to come to you. It's not like golf, although you can be passionate in golf. But there's so much running. There's just so much. They're all focused on the same thing. You know, yesterday, I don't know if you saw the game. Probably shouldn't dwell so much on the soccer, but I was really ministered to. So there was a guy on the English team who scored 2 goals. And it's pretty rare that you get a hat trick, okay? 3 goals in one game. It's really rare. If you do, you belong to this elite group, especially in a World Series like that, okay? So there was a foul, and, you know, Mr. Bellingham, the big superstar from England, comes on the field to take the penalty kick. It's going to go in, for sure. And he just came on the field. And he has an opportunity, because he's a big superstar, to score a goal. But what does he do? He calls the other guy over, who scored 2 goals, and gives him the opportunity to get the hat trick. So you take the penalty shot. Of course, the guy kicks the ball and goes in the net. And then everybody rushes over and cheers him on because he got a hat trick. See, it's phenomenal. See, that's what I'm talking about. We don't want to get the glory. We want to lift each other up, right? I think that's church. Honestly, I think that's church. That's the way God wants us to be. Cheer each other on. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue steadfastly in prayer. Okay, there's this real perseverance. There's this real patience. And together we do that. Friends, prayer is powerful. I can't tell you Wednesday night prayer. We've seen so many answers to prayer in the last 18 years. Like, we should, Wendy probably logged every one of them. But it really is phenomenal that we have a God. And then when we come together as a body and pray, whenever 2 or 3 are gathered and you agree, God moves. Okay? And the world is getting crazy. And we need to band together. How much more? It says, you know, Hebrews 12. Is it 12? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. 10:25. Thank you. Get together, even as you see the day approaching. The closer you get to Jesus coming back, we should be meeting more. We should be encouraging each other to persevere. Distributing, verse 13, to the needs of the saints. Giving. Practice giving. Prefer others. Be passionate. Be patient. And practice giving. Hospitality literally means philoxenia, love strangers. Okay? Lots of love in this chapter. Lots of love. That's why I think this whole chapter is about the church loving each other and loving God together. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You remember the early church? They would do collections. They would sell property, and they would bring the resources, and they would distribute to whoever had need. So that there was no lack. It says there was no lack. Nobody lacked anything. Okay, we're not talking brand new cars and brand new boats. We're talking the necessities of life everybody had. The widows who couldn't work anymore, the older people who couldn't work and were frail, everybody was looked after. Okay? That's the church being the church. That's love. Love is self-sacrifice. Literally, that's what the word means, agape, is to unconditionally give yourself for someone else. The love of God in your heart. Final one. I'm going to jump back to verse 6-8, which I have titled, Be Love. Be Active. Okay? You've been transformed by God. You've been put in a community. Okay? This is what God does. He puts the solitary in families. He brings them together so that the gifts are in the body. That's what 1 Corinthians 12. He's the one who gives the gifts. He's the one who brings the people in so that all the gifts in that body that are needed are there, and that body can function properly as a body. And what is that body supposed to do? It's supposed to minister one to another. It's supposed to be active. And there's no idleness. You can't sit around in a church. You just can't come on a Sunday and sit your butt in a pew and call that church. That's not church.
Amen.
Church is living in community together. It's serving one another. It's being connected, okay? And sadly, a lot of our churches are just people come and they plop their butt in a pew and then they sing a little song. They run home and go shop and do whatever they do on Sunday. And that's the only time you see them is on Sunday. All kinds of other stuff going on during the week. I'm not going to rail too long, but I think when I understand church, it's about a body really functioning together. Okay? Are we praying for each other? Are we encouraging? You know all the one another's in the scriptures? You should ask me. If you want a copy of all the one another's, I'll give it to you. There's a whole bunch of things. Serve one another in love. Okay? Encourage one another. Like, if you're really walking and you're concerned about this body, God will actually put someone on your heart in the body to pray for.
That's right.
Okay? He'll just say, that person needs a phone call.
Yep.
Here's some gifts, just in case you haven't noticed. Okay, we are members of one another, and because God wants us to function as members of one another in a family, in a body, He's given us gifts, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given us. Our gift is not our natural talents, okay?
Right.
It's what God has given us to function in the body. If you don't know what that is, you ask Him for it. In His grace, God has given individual gifts to each person for doing things well, it says in the New Living. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, prophesy. Okay? That's what it says. It's very interesting. There's no verbs in this 6 to 8. It's just, having gifts different according to grace has given us, let us use them. Mine's in italics. That's not there. Mm-hmm. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. See, what does that mean, in proportion to your faith? If you hear a word from the Lord, and you believe it's from the Lord, you need to speak it out. Okay? You need to speak it out. Because that's the Lord who's giving you that gift so that the Lord can speak to the body. If you hold it back, the Lord isn't speaking. You silence the Lord. What? You can do that? Yeah. We need to operate in our gift. Prophecy, what is prophecy? It is literally foretelling what God is saying. Maybe it's a direction for the church. Maybe it's a future word for what's coming. Maybe it's encouraging someone with a piece of scripture. Okay? Regardless, we need to stop doubting and see. Doubt is the opposite of faith. If we doubt, we won't share what God has given us. And that person won't get the encouragement they're looking for. Or the body won't get the direction that the church is looking for. Are you with me?
Yep.
Okay. So if prophecy, prophesy according to your faith. If ministering, minister. Okay. Literally, serving. And it's a broad term. Whatever it is, we see it in Acts chapter 6 where they're serving tables. Whatever it is God has called you to serve another individual with, serve. That individual. Serve whoever, whenever, even, friends, we're going to see in the next time we meet, it even goes beyond the church, okay? God can even use your gifts, as was shared this morning, to minister to someone who's not even in church,
right.
who's searching for God. And God has given you a gift to bring them into the fold. If ministry, let it use it for ministering. Who teaches and teaching, okay? There's lots of teachers. It's not just me, okay? There's lots of teachers. Parents, you're a teacher. When your grandkids come over and you're exhorting and encouraging, you're a teacher. Okay? When your husband needs a little correction, you're teaching. When he's trying to get you to correct, he's teaching. How are we doing with that? He who exhorts and exhorting, literally encouraging. We all need encouragement, don't we? I praise God for encouragers in the church who just said, they come and they just say the right thing at the right time and you're kind of feeling down and bummed out, and next thing you know, poof. It's like God just planted a seed in your heart and just burst open into a flower. Okay? It's, wow. Thank you, Lord. I needed that. He who gives with liberality. If your gift is giving, if God has blessed you with finances or resources to be able to bless others, then do it cheerfully. He who leads with diligence, if you're a leader, lead with zeal. Same word as we saw, zeal. It's a passion. And the word to lead there literally means stand out and take the lead. Step in front of everybody and lead. If you're supposed to lead, lead. Don't get at the back. Leaders can't lead from the back. You got to lead from the front. That's what it means. Stand up and do what you're supposed to do. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy, compassion. Listen, if someone's in the hospital or sick and they need a visit and God is prompting you to go, go. And when you go, be happy about it. Okay? The word for cheerfulness is hilarion. It's like, you know, where we get the word hilarious. It's be happy about it. Do it with joy. Because God has given you that gift to be an encouragement and bring joy to someone else who's suffering, who's struggling.
Okay? It's an I get to attitude.
I get to attitude. That's what you call it. Okay.
I get to do this.
Yeah, it's not a burden. It's God has given me the gift and I'm going to use it. And what is the motivation? The motivation for all of this is I love God and I love the people he's put me with. Okay? Ask yourself this week. Do I love God? Do I love the people he's put me with? Do I value the people he's put me with? Do I value the gifts that are in the people he's put me with? Okay? Am I allowing them to serve? That's another whole issue. But, you know, God has blessed us with many, many different talents and abilities and gifts he's poured on people. We have gifts of service and gifts of giving and gifts of teaching. And they're all here. There's no gifts lacking in this church. Right? I mean, we have different... If you're looking for financial teaching, I mean, God has even given us that, right? If you're looking for a prayer, God has given us prayer warriors who just seem to be able to connect to the throne better than some others. So, I don't know. There's nothing lacking in this body because... You go home and read 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see that God has brought us together to do what he wants us to do. And I don't care who you are, if you're a Christian, you have a gift. If you don't know what the gift is, ask somebody, what is my gift? And I guarantee you they'll tell, I see this in you. Yeah. Okay? I see that you have a bent to do this, or you have a passion to do that. And we need to encourage you, so we need to call those gifts out of each other. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Yes.
One of the things, Jocelyn shared it at the baptism, and I was so glad that she did. I learned the lesson the really hard way, but you said, the church will let you down. Yeah. There will come a day, maybe something small, maybe something big, the church will let you down. So while we're doing this, and that's important, that we keep our eyes on God. Because there will be moments when the church, or people in the church, I guess I should say, will let us down, and then we take that opportunity to be humble. But just keeping that in mind, the church is not our idol.
That's right.
God is who we worship,
right.
And the church is his gift to us.
Amen. Yeah, the church is really just a bunch of broken people who are still on the road of sanctification, right?
So,
including the leadership. I mean, we all need Jesus, we all need more of him, and we all need each other. And so the key is humility. And I think if you stay in that place where you always need God and you always need others to tell you when you're not walking with God or when they see something in you that needs working on, I still think that's the purpose of marriage, to point out what God needs to work on. So let's just... encourage one another along the way. It's not, you don't keep saying what you see wrong. You say, wow, I see that God really got a hold of you, or, you know, I love when you sing. Or just be a little word to encourage each other along the way, right? I really appreciate you, right? Just stuff like that. Use your gifts to serve others for the good of the whole. Commit to the common goal of getting to the prize. And this is what I see in a soccer team. Is they're all focused on the prize. They're all running the same race, okay? They're all going for the same goal. to win the prize. And they got leader on the sideline who's encouraging and cheering and calling the plays. And when one person gets victory, they all celebrate the victory together. And I just think it's a great example of how we should live. And I've never noticed that in soccer before. You hear the horror stories where there's fight in the stands and, you know, all that stuff. And but honestly, this has been an incredible series I've never ever watched before in my life. But I think God used it just to show me a picture of the church he wants. But also, there's a lot of faith. There's a lot of people with faith. I don't know where they're at, but there's a lot of faith in people. I think I wrote a devotional about that a couple weeks ago. Imagine if the church expressed the faith in God, who can do anything, like soccer players express their faith on the field in front of millions of people. Imagine if the church functioned like a team working together to achieve the goal, the upward prize is call in Christ Jesus, okay? Like, imagine if we are all focused, united together, serving one another. Each of us is taking our position according to the ability we've been given or have or developed over the years. Imagine this. I could take it ad nauseum. But you're called, you're chosen from the world to play on this team. And you're put on the team with all these other players who've been chosen. And those coaches, they see a gift in you, and they line you up, and they tell you where to play, and everybody's functioning together, doing what they're supposed to do, and victory. They're going for the same prize, right? I think it was 2 Timothy chapter 2. Soldiers, he uses the analogy of soldiers, and he uses the analogy of athletes who are competing for the prize. But he uses the analogy of soldiers who've been enlisted by one. And a soldier fights and perseveres to win the victory, to win the battle, under the commanding officer. And it's the same analogy. Use whatever you want. I just think the world needs to see that we are not divided. Okay? They need to see a church that is united, that is not just about Sunday morning. It's about living life together, pressing in, encouraging each other, and just being there, serving each other in love in our gifting. And so that's all I'm going to say. Thank you, Lord. I call forth every member of this team, Lord, to walk in what they've been given according to your grace and your power, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we are one in Christ, one body under Christ, that he's the head and he decides how the whole body moves. And Lord, will we all submit to one another and submit to you as we run towards the prize, the upward call in Christ Jesus. Lord God, for anyone doubting their role in this body, I pray you confirm it, Lord. Just bind the lies of the enemy that they have nothing to offer. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. God, if you're here, God has brought you. And if you're here, God has deposited in you what is needed. And we just appreciate and value each one that God has brought. And Lord, we commit to just running the race together and achieving the prize together and not leaving anyone behind. Lord, we want to be an encouraging church that cheers each other on and serves one another in love. Holy Spirit, come and minister to us. Fill up what is lacking. Confirm what is there and fire us up, Lord. Give us more passion, more zeal to serve and love each other under God our King. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.